The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Sorry about that false start. I just wanted to point out a couple of things about this gospel today. First, we have to situate it where it is in Matthew's gospel. We have this last line, which is one of the more famous sayings of Jesus, "The last will be the first, and the first will be the last." What is prompting him to say this is in response to what happens immediately before. This is the beginning of the 20th chapter, but at the end of the 19th chapter, we have Simon Peter, who is complaining to Jesus and saying, "Lord, you know, we've given up wife, children, homes, everything to come to follow you." So basically he's asking him, What's in it for us? You know, we're giving everything. What are we going to get in return? And this is similar to other instances that we see in the Gospels of, for example, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, who goes and tells Jesus that she wants her sons to sit at his left and at his right in the kingdom. You remember that passage? And the thing is, I mean, yes, this gives us some glimpses into the character failings of the apostles, but it also gives us a glimpse into our own human nature. We all have a tendency to think this way, and we all, as uncomfortable as it makes us to say it, we all come before God with a certain sense of entitlement. You know, we all feel that we've earned heaven and we deserve heaven, and that, you know, just because we've been nice and we haven't committed any major crimes, we haven't broken the criminal law of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, that we feel that's it, that we should go straight to heaven. Jesus tells us that it's not so. What do we need to do in order to be saved? We have to remember that we are here, we are created by God, and we are created to love him, to praise him, to reverence him, and to serve him, and to serve our neighbor, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, we see this in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 4 to 8, the famous, what the Jews call the Shema Yisrael, "Listen, O Israel. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you are to love him with all your mind, with all your heart, and with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. These are words that seem pretty. You know, they sound like something off of a Hallmark card. However, we all know from lived experience that this is not easy. Sometimes when things are going well, we can love God a little bit more than at other times. But it's hard for us to love God when things are not going our way. That can be a little more challenging. It's easy for us to love neighbor when it's someone that we like, or someone who loves us back, or someone, you know, who simply we're friendly with. But what about strangers? What about people that cause us discomfort? People who dislike us, or people who hate us, and who might even seek our death? We are called to love all these. And loving them doesn't mean being buddy-buddy with them. Let's get that straight. No, loving means simply to wish to help them and to serve them, to help them attain their salvation above all things. But this is something that Jesus not only taught in words, but he demonstrated with actions. You know, this whole idea that the last will be first and the first will be last. Also, and another point in the gospel, you'll remember when Jesus is asked by the bickering apostles that who's going to be the greatest of them in the kingdom. And he says, the one who's going to be your leader, the one who's going to be the greatest among you, is the one who is going to make himself a slave to all now. A slave to all. These are serious words. These are heavy words. And Jesus isn't a poet. He tells it like it is, to be a slave to all. So in order for us to attain our salvation, first and foremost, but also in order for us to have peace of mind while we're here in this life, what we need to do is to follow Jesus. By following him, I mean imitating him. Really diving into the Gospels, learning about his life, learning about the things that he said, the things that he did, and trying to imitate that in our daily affairs. It doesn't mean that we have to give up our life necessarily. It could, but not necessarily. But it does mean for us to do what he did, to listen to what he taught, and to try to do all these things in our lives. How do I make myself the last of all? That's a very hard thing to do. All of us are hardwired for competition, for to be on top of the heap, to be number one. And we step on toes on the way up. This is something that we do driven by instinct sometimes, just sheer animal instinct, wanting to be at the head of the pack. But sometimes it's also a combination of our pride and also our fear. Our fear that if I don't get what's mine, someone else is going to get it. And so these are natural inclinations that we have in our fallen nature that we have to fight against every day, every single day, because this is not the way that Jesus lived his life. And we are called to be like him. To be like him can seem frightening at times, but this is what is going to give us deep and inner peace. You know, just yesterday I was talking to someone, and they were just shocked at all these incidents that are happening in the world with people who have a lot of money and just want more, or that they live lives that live violent lives. For example, the NFL players who are abusive to their wives, that sort of thing. And the thing is, that's because they don't have peace of mind. They have a ton of money. They have more money than we'll ever see in our lifetimes combined. But money doesn't give us peace. When it comes to money, we never really have enough. We always want more and more. And then when we have it, we're always afraid that we're going to lose it. And it just, it becomes our God. It becomes the ruling determinant in all of our thoughts and all of our actions. Pope Francis has been bringing this to our attention of late. Jesus teaches us the opposite. He teaches us not that we're going to live like you know, in mud huts, but he's saying that we need to trust divine providence more, that we need elsewhere in the gospel, he also says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. This is not something that we're going to learn in business school, but God does not think as human beings do. We see that in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah. The difference between God's ways and our ways is infinite. It is enormous. So it is hard for us to take on that Christ-like mentality. It is hard for us to try to force our hearts to be more like the Sacred Heart of Jesus. These are challenges. And the thing is, we can't. We can't do these things on our own. We need the help of Jesus. But let's just kind of maybe take a quick inventory of how we live our lives spiritually. Do I pray to be a servant of others? Do I pray for the grace and for the courage to reach out to others, to help them, to serve them, to be of use to them, to be kind to them, to be a mirror of God's light in this darkened world? I can tell you one thing, I haven't been asking for that often, and I think that most of us don't. It doesn't come naturally. I think that all of us have room for improvement in our spiritual lives. We always have room for growth, especially in the area of humility. And humility is like the concrete slab on which we're building our house. That humility that Jesus taught and that Jesus lived from the moment of his conception to his death, his life was pure humility. Everything about his life, all the details of his life were humility. And this coming from God incarnate, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what he says to us, I can do this, so you can do it also. In John's account of the Last Supper, Jesus ties on an apron and starts to wash the dirty feet of his apostles, who are horrified that he's doing something like this, the task of a slave. And he says simply, right now you can't understand this, but what I am doing, you will also do. Teaching them humility. The last, the humble, shall be the first. This is what we need to remember, and this is what we need to make the guiding principle of our lives. We need to pray for this. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to reorder the priorities of our hearts and of our minds, that we may grow in true, loyal, and faithful servants of Jesus Christ and servants of our brothers and sisters. May the Holy Spirit help us to do that today, that we may have peace, deep, abiding peace in this world and life eternal in the next. God bless you.